At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Burger night is back like it never left. You can get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. That's Mondays from 3 p.m. to midnight. It's 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, which means phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. What improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025? Year two in the National Football League. The question of the day on the Richmond Commander.
It's time for the Richmond Commander.
Are you ready, folks?
The phones are open. It's your chance to be the quarterback of this segment.
There's something I like to say.
Every day at 1 p.m. on AWOD Radio, the Richmond Commander.
What improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025-2026? Year two, the National Football League for your Rookie of the Year franchise quarterback for the Commanders. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. When I think back to this past season and Jaden Daniels' play, I think the first word that comes to mind for me is electric. I mean, he put this team on his back. He made so many amazing plays where he would make a guy miss and then keep his eyes downfield and find an open receiver, or make a guy miss and then run downfield for 15 or 20 yards. He didn't really have a signature play like RG3's rookie year where he had the 75-yard run against the Vikings. He had a couple of signature type plays where he had a 3rd and 15 or a 4th and 15 conversion against the Philadelphia Eagles that same game. He has the game winning throw against Jamison Crowder. He has the Hail Mary, which was the signature play kind of that season, even though, you know, I felt like the Hail Mary itself didn't even define that game, because I thought we should have won easily. I mean, we were the better team in 90% of that game. Just the red zone failures led to the team kicking field goals and then in finding themselves behind there in the fourth quarter. But what improvements do you want to see from Jaden Daniels in 2025? I think the first thing for me is I want to see more deep shots downfield. I want to see more explosive play in the air from Jaden Daniels. And I think the other thing is I want to see him also live to fight another down more often. You know, for example, don't take a hit and lose a yard when you could throw the ball out of bounds. Don't take a hit and gain a yard when you could throw the ball out of bounds. You know, I think that so many rookies in the National Football League, they play every snap like it's their life is on the line. And Robert Griffin III certainly did that in 2011. And a lot of plays, Jaden Daniels did that last year. But it's just kind of hard to have that mindset for your entire career. I almost think it's like in tennis with what made Rafa Nadal so special is that he was like the only one around that could fight his ass off on every single point. Can Jaden Daniels be the kind of guy that can put the team on his back every single game this upcoming season? Sometimes I think he's going to have to just live to play another down and not try to put the Superman cape on and risk injury. And just look, it's 2nd and 10. There is a huge pass rush in your face. Throw the ball. away. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. I certainly think that part of his stardom, part of his rise in fame in the National Football League was the fantasy football element. A lot of people that did not care for Washington started to pay attention because he was getting double-digit fantasy points and sometimes upwards to 20 or 30 every single night. So I'm excited to see that. But in terms of the growth, I want to see the passing touchdowns go up. I want to see the interceptions stay around the same. I want to see him become a 4,000-yard passer. For some reason, that means a lot to me. That's the number that I think he should have as a goal. Can Jane Daniels be a 4,000-yard passer? Because that's, you know, that's something that Kirk Cousins can accomplish, and I certainly think Jane Daniels can as well. But he's got a year now of experience under his belt. He'll have more command of the Commanders, Cliff Kingsbury's up-tempo offense, and hopefully improved weapons. Yes, Deebo Samuel's a big upgrade, but can the tight end Ben Sennett be an upgrade? Can you get more from Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Eckler with an improved offensive line? What about Noah Brown? It was good to see him over the weekend smiling and taking photos and signing autographs with fans. Kind of lets me know that he did avoid some serious injury. But if Jaden Daniels can have the same processing speed that he had last year, I mean, he was almost like a computer. And a lot of that was probably his use of the VR headset, putting a computer on his brain that allowed him to boom, 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 quickly read the play, find out who gets open, avoid the sack. You know, he's going to have to improve on all of that, and it is something that I actually have a lot of faith in him improving, because I think he did work hard this offseason in the VR headset to make sure that he can continue to get rid of the ball quickly. That was why I think he had so much success. It was because it was quick pass, and then, all right, there's an extended play, but it's not every single play that has to be like that. And, for example, I think that was the Russell Wilson problem the last few years in Denver, was almost every single play he was trying to extend the play and make something happen. Every once in a while, and I think more often than not, you got to get rid of the ball and let your teammates make the play, right? Like Jaden talked about at Fanatics Fan Fest. I'm excited to throw a screen pass to Deebo Samuel and let him run 80 yards to the house, right? We need more of Jaden getting rid of the ball and his explosive teammates making the play for him this upcoming season. Hopefully he can grow in terms of being an alpha in the locker room with all of the national televised games, Madrid, Christmas, Monday Night Football, Sunday Night Football. He's going to have to be the leader of this franchise, the leader in the locker room, to make sure that everybody gets up for those nationally televised games. But we want to see more deep ball consistency, and I think more shots downfield. I'm okay with him throwing two or three more interceptions as long as he has more opportunities to throw the ball downfield. I thought the ball security was solid for Jaden Daniels. But early in the season, there were a few times where he got sacked and fumbled, or he ran and fumbled. We got lucky, and the team recovered that. But that's certainly something that he needs to improve on. And I wonder, can Jaden Daniels use an improved offensive line to help in the rushing game this season? You know, meaning there were a lot of times last year where they did some direct snaps to Jaden Daniels, and he had to, like, make a guy miss in the backfield. I think of the 4th-and-1 against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What was his name? Chris Canty? He was in the backfield sniffing Jaden Daniels, and he was able to get away and break free and run for the first down. With an improved offensive line, will Jaden Daniels have more opportunities to run downfield on some of these design plays without having to make a guy miss in the backfield? I mean, that's what's held Washington's rushing attack back in the last 5 years. It feels like, you know, Brian Robinson's gone through it his entire career in D.C., getting pressure up front in the trenches that's forcing our ball carriers to make a guy miss, to dodge someone in the backfield. and that stops the momentum. It stops the explosive plays down the field in the running game. It just messes with the timing, the hole that you're trying to go through. They've got to do a better job of limiting the interior pressure in the trenches. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. 833-804-0910. We got Stubb running the ones and twos. Our intern Biff has also put together a list of his most important games the Commanders will play this season. Biff, I'm interested in why you put the Seattle game on here, week 9, for the Washington Commanders. Look, that is right after that Monday night game at Kansas City, which is going to be a massive test.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I feel like out of all my life, we were never the primetime team, so we get a lot of primetime action, which is going to be cool, and I don't got to do Stream East or anything like that to watch my team play. But yeah, I'm really excited. I mean, Kansas City's going to be tough. What I'm most excited for is the rematch for Detroit. I think it's going to be tough, but I think that has a big chance for Jaden Daniels to really prove himself and say, like, I kind of want to have, like, oh, my quarterback is the owner of the Detroit Lions, right? Especially,
yeah.
Like, that would have such a cool ring to it. And I think if Jaden Daniels can play the way he plays, then he can say that, yeah, Detroit Lions just can't seem to stop this guy. So I'm excited for that. Obviously, the divisional games, I'm excited for the Philly games. But overall, man, it's a really cool experience for this, all these primetime games.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at week 8 being at Kansas City, and then week 10, America's Game of the Week versus the Detroit Lions, it's going to be tough for this team to not overlook the Seattle Seahawks, a team that's coming to your stadium. It is a primetime game. You know, that's going to demand consistency from everyone, and I do feel like that's another thing where it's like there's going to be a lot of attention on Washington that week because you're either coming off of the high of beating, you know, back-to-back Super Bowl champs in the Kansas City Chiefs, or you're coming off the low of kind of a reality check of a failed trip to Kansas City for Monday Night Football. So the fact that the Seattle game is kind of sandwiched in between maybe our two most important games of the season, or maybe our two most difficult opponents, Kansas City on the road, Detroit, everybody in Detroit's upset with Washington. They're pissed off.
Yeah, they're not.
They felt like they should have played in the conference championship game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So with those two games being so important, but Seattle sandwiched in between, but it's still a primetime game, that is going to be a test right there. It's going to be a test of will. It's going to be a test for Dan Quinn with his anybody, anywhere, anytime motto to make sure the team does not, you know, slack off or look ahead to Detroit or even look ahead to Madrid, because those games are right around the corner. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to AWOD Radio on the Fan.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show live and local from 12 to 3 p.m. Always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And you can come back here tonight for Burger Night. Better than before, back and like it never left. 3 p.m. to midnight, get a burger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do. For $3.95, we wanted to continue our NBA conversation. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline from the Sports Junkies, it's JP, John Paul Flame. What's going on, JP?
Dude, you have me salivating. I might have to drive to Richmond. A bacon cheeseburger for under $4?
I know. It's incredible. And they hook me up here every Monday. I've certainly been putting on weight once again because of it, but it is unbelievable, the deal here at Capitol Ale House. One of my favorite places to go to, the downtown one, shoot some darts while I have a burger on burger night. So, JP, let me start with this. Do you think there's any chance the Pacers win the game last night if Halliburton doesn't get hurt?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I mean, they were in the lead at the half, and their big downfall in Game 7 was turnovers. They committed 23 turnovers. So, of course, I think if you have your point guard, you have a chance to probably take care of the ball better than they did, particularly in the second half. They had a turnover issue in most of their losses. Look, you have to credit Oklahoma City. They have a really great defense, physical defense. You saw what Chet Holmgren did, blocking some shots late in that game. But I do think, I'm not saying they win the game, but I think there's a chance that if Tyrese Halliburton is healthy, that they have a very good chance to win the game. Heck, we saw it in game one, right? You go all the way back to game one in this series, which was over 2 weeks ago. Indiana was just kind of hanging around. And in the fourth quarter, Oklahoma City couldn't put them away. And then they hit a couple three-point shots, and all of a sudden you're looking at it as like, whoa, Indiana could steal this game, and sure enough they did on the Halliburton game winner. So, yeah, I would give them a chance, but you have to credit OKC. Best team all season long, 168 games, have the guy that won the MVP in Shea, leading scorer in the league. So they deserved it, but it could have been different.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've been the Pacers supporter on this station all finals long. I had them winning in six. I thought that could have happened if they closed out game four, that they were, you know, playing great for 3.5 quarters. The reason I'd say that they don't win this game even if Halliburton plays all four quarters is because he just never went off for 30 points. His best game was game three when he had 22. And so, yeah, he had that incredible first quarter with 9 points. I'm not sure that it would have continued. And on the flip side, I say, the reason the Pacers couldn't win this finals was not offensively as much as they couldn't stop SGA. The entire finals, they couldn't stop him. Game four, they had him. They had him limited. He entered that fourth quarter with just 20 points, and he ends up with 35. So when a guy averages 30 points for the entire seven-game NBA finals, I think that was the biggest difference. The Pacers could not stop the MVP, who played like an MVP.
Yeah, I mean, they won three games even with Shea scoring those points. Like I said, to me, biggest factor in the game besides Halliburton going down yesterday was the turnovers, and maybe that goes hand in hand. When you commit 23 turnovers in the game, you're probably not going to win.
Did you enjoy this year's NBA playoffs? I thought it was terrific. Really good theater. A lot of games that came down to, you know, the final shot, the heroics from the Pacers on one side. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder run in the West was awesome. We had a couple of really good game sevens in this year's finals. Like, I thought this was one of the worst regular seasons in like 10 or 15 years, but one of the best postseasons. Your thoughts, JP?
So I was catching some flack on the show today from Drab, but this is the first year, you know, I love the NBA. And I liked a lot of the games. It felt like it just took forever this year. Can you even remember when Memphis was swept by Oklahoma City in the first round? Can you even remember when the Lakers were playing in the playoffs? It feels like so long ago. And what I said on the show, and I stand by this, why are we doing best of seven in the first round? Why are we doing best of seven in the second round? I think you could do best of three in the first round, best of five in the second round, and then have your conference finals and have your NBA finals. That said, I definitely enjoyed some of the series. Look, in the first round, I think it went seven. Was it? Or I guess the second round. The OKC-Denver series was awesome.
Right.
The Celtics-Knicks series was awesome. There were definitely some highlights, but it just seems like it lasts too long. Admittedly, first time I've ever said that. I'm 54 years old. It's the first time I ever felt like it's too long. Look, even the NBA Finals, seven games took 16 days. Do we need 2 days off between some of these games? I don't think so. It seems like it loses momentum to me at times.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. You have to go back to April 19th, right? I mean, you got to go back to a long time ago to find that first round. I enjoyed it because there was nothing else on TV except for the NHL, but I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, round it feels like forever ago that Steph Curry upset the Rockets, and that was a game seven,
right.
You know?
Right. And yeah. And my point is, most of the first round series, all right, if you look at them, there were two out of eight that went seven, but there was also at least two sweeps and a couple that were four games to one. Like, I just don't think you need to have best of seven in the first round. That said, you know, I was entertained. I think Indiana surprised everybody. And we were talking about this on the show. Cakes always brings up OKC, who wins it all. If you're a fan of the Wizards, Cakes was saying you got to be rooting for OKC because we've got a couple guys now in Winger and Dawkins who come from that OKC tree, and they have done the turnaround. They've done coming from the bottom and making it all the way to the top. So you hope that the Wizards can do it. Now, what I'd say is OKC was able to trade Paul George.
Right.
And that netted Shea and all these great draft picks. I don't know that Washington has anybody of that caliber, but they're going to do their best to try and build a winner.
Yeah, that's what's interesting with Wednesday's NBA draft because, you know, like you said, they traded for SGA. It's not like we have a superstar in return when we traded Bradley Beal. I'd almost say Washington's building their franchise more like what we saw from the Houston Rockets and their young draft picks, but they decided to go all in and trade for a Kevin Durant. So, you know, they got off the path that they were going that I think Washington was following. So I wonder, will Washington make a swing, maybe for a Giannis or one of these other big names that will be on the move, or will they just sit at number six and take a swing on Ace Bailey or whoever falls to their lap?
I don't think they have the ammunition to go get a Giannis or one of these superstars right now. You know, going back to that OKC model, they trade Paul George, who was considered one of the best players in the game, and he was still in his prime, maybe tail end of prime, when they make that deal, right? Who does Washington have to trade? They could trade Jordan Poole, I guess. And I think Poole had a pretty nice year last year. A couple years ago, he was one of the biggest jokes in the league, right? He's always on Shaq and a fool. I think last year kind of resuscitated him to some extent, but he's not a Paul George caliber player. They have Chris Middleton. He's oft injured, old. They'll try and unload him, and I guess Marcus Smart, you know, but they are building with these young guys. You know, maybe encouraging is you see a team like Indiana who makes it all the way to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. They don't really have a superstar. Tyrese Haliburton's a good player, but the players voted him the most overrated player in the league. Now, maybe he's shed that moniker by the way he's played this year in the playoffs, hitting the game winners and everything. Pascal Siakam, nice player, but he's not some superstar. So maybe you just build a really good, solid team.
We got JP Flame with us here from the Sports Junkies on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. I enjoyed EB's breakdown of Ace Bailey, and I feel like I don't usually agree with EB, but I've been obsessed with Ace Bailey all season long. I know the Rutgers team struggled, and he took a lot of bad shots. I felt like he was like a young Kevin Durant, a ton of fadeaways and step-back shots, but he was hitting them. And I just think there's so much to love offensively. I was like so depressed, JP, ready to break things when Washington fell to number six. But if they're able to get Ace Bailey, who I thought was going to be a top three pick, you know, for the last year, that would be perfect if that could happen. So I'm all in for Ace Bailey. There's not really another guy that I like that's mocked to Washington.
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, there was a little period of time on the Junkies where I can't remember if it was Cakes who started hyping up this guy, Igor Demin.
Right.
You know, who's at BYU. You're talking about Ace. I can't get too fired up for any of these guys. You know, Jason and I were talking about today, and I kind of agree with him. If Ace Bailey was so good, why wasn't Rutgers any good? They were terrible. They had two supposedly of the top players in the country in Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, and they don't even make the tournament? They don't go 500? So how good can these guys be? Are they actually difference makers?
Yeah, I mean, look, I did watch some of their games this season, and the two didn't play defense. I mean, that's the biggest thing I can tell you. He did not play, like, a lick of defense. They didn't try on the defensive side of the ball. And I do think part of their issue offensively, like I said, was they took so many bad shots. It was like they were NBA guys working on their NBA game. They didn't care about anything Rutgers basketball last year. It's one of the big problems of, you know, NIL and the transfer portal is whoever spent all that money that was a Rutgers alum, good for you. You got two great players who did not care, did not try hard, really, and then will then be drafted and be gone. So I kind of think...
And then he's not even working out for teams. So here's my question for you. Mm-hmm. If you were running the Wizards, all right, you like Ace Bailey, do you think he's an alpha, like a guy who can be your top dog scorer, and then kind of going with that, what do you see in Alex Sarr? You know, because EB today did his commercial film breakdown on the center from Duke, right?
Yeah.
He's not a scorer. The only way to me that you go with a guy like that is if you believe that Sarr can be an alpha and score 25 to 30 points a game down the road. Is he a number two or is he a number one? And what do you think Ace Bailey would be?
So I truly think Ace Bailey is a number one. I mean, I'm going to get some flack for this, JP, but I compare him to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. I think he's that good. I think he's that exciting. He's 6'10", 200 pounds, can dribble the ball. It's his shooting that I'm so excited about. But like I said, he takes so many awful shots, so they're going to have to, you know, teach him to go to the basket and stop shooting so many fadeaways. But I think he could be your starting small forward or power forward of the future with Sarr at number five. I love Bub Carrington. That's my starting point guard of the future
Bub's
there.
The dog.
So I think he can kind of run the offense. And Bailey, I really think there's a chance he could be, you know, at the level of Kevin Durant, LeBron James. I mean, that's what I'm seeing with this guy. That's why I have to swing. I'm trying to trade up. If Philadelphia is going to flirt with him at number three, I'm doing everything to get up to number three. I am all in, putting all my chips in on Ace Bailey.
Yeah, the only thing scares me, like I said, is why they weren't winning games at Rutgers. And why is he sliding down the draft boards now? Now, maybe that is all bogus, but, you know, we all check out kind of the same sites, right? The NBADraft.net. He used to be 2-3. I just checked. He's like 8 or 9 now.
Yeah. No, it's weird. It was weird with Alex Sarr last year not wanting to visit Atlanta. I don't know. I think it has to do with, you know, the guys are already making a lot of money in college, so the agents are getting involved and trying to set him up perfectly in the future here. So there's something going on behind the scenes that's very weird, because he was supposed to be a top three pick for more than the last year. I mean, even when he was in high school, he was viewed as maybe better than Cooper Flagg at one point. So I don't understand why he's dropping. But if I'm Washington, I'm making sure I can do everything possible that Ace Bailey is the card you turn in at number six.
Yeah, so he's there. Look, I saw those same breakdowns. Some people had Ace Bailey rated higher. Here's my question for you as a Wizards fan. Most people have bought into the rebuild, right? They mm-hmm. they clearly have hit the bottom, and they've been rebuilding this last couple of seasons. Do you have the patience to wait another 2 years? Because it's going to be a long year. You know what I mean? Like, when is this supposed to turn around?
Right. I think you're hoping for one more lousy year. You keep the pick that you had traded with the Knicks, and so you need to be a bottom eight team. But hopefully you're a bottom eight team once again with a lot of excitement. You know, Bub Carrington in the right direction, Keyshawn George, Alex Sarr in the right direction. Maybe A.J. Johnson is something. But to answer your question, if you're a Wizards fan, It's one more year of being bad, and then we have to turn it around, or I'm giving up.
Totally agree. You got to get something. You know, it just gets me nervous because some of these teams, Detroit finally got good this year, right? But, man, every year they seem to have a top five pick, and then finally it turned around. So they're definitely testing Wizards fans' patience, and I know you've been a Wizards fan your whole life. I think when you started working for the Junkies, you had a Wizards wallet. So hopefully they turn that thing around.
Yeah, I mean, look, you guys had Will Dawkins on for a lot of the year. I love him. I think he's a brilliant young man. I mean, I thought every interview, it was like he inspired me to watch bad basketball because I was excited about the future.
Yeah, but eventually patience wears thin, right? It's kind of what Mike Rizzo's feeling with the Nationals. You can have a reputation, but eventually you got to have results.
JP, thanks so much for joining the show today, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, man. Keep thriving.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio, 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck for Burger Night. And we're back in Richmond following a weekend trip to Philadelphia. And I hope you guys enjoy this recap. I had a really good trip. I was off on Thursday and Friday of last week and went up to Philadelphia with a friend to see the Club World Cup game between Flamengo and Chelsea, Brazilian Soccer League against the EPL. And I'll tell you this, Stub. I hope you had a good weekend. And I enjoyed the trip, but I'm not a fan of Philadelphia at all.
Famously,
I really don't like the Philly bros that I met there. So annoying, all of them. I hate everything about their sports teams. And I also think, especially after kind of seeing the history, Philadelphians, whatever you want to call it, they think they're way more important in like the grand scheme of the history of the United States than they actually are. Philly's trash in my mind. So with that all said, here's my trip recap. Had a ton of fun, but we'll start with the food in Philadelphia. So overrated. I was disappointed. My goodness. So everybody says you have to go to Reading Market. It's the greatest thing ever. It's just you're packed in there like sardines. So many people go there. Everybody's a tourist. Nobody's really from Philadelphia in there. They're all loud and obnoxious. I got the shawarma. It was decent, probably really overpriced. Cost me like $18 for a sandwich, fries. Didn't even get a drink. So the shawarma was like a 5 out of 10. The pizza in Philadelphia, oh, everybody said, you got to get a slice, got to get a slice. No, it's not New York pizza. It's like microwave DiGiorno's. That was not good. Oh, the cheesesteak, right? You got to get the cheesesteak when you're in Philadelphia. It was like the most average cheesesteak ever. Halfway through it, I was like, why am I even eating this thing? It was just stuffed with their shaved steak that's not... I mean, it just tastes like rat meat and plastic cheese. I was so mad with that. I got excited. I texted Michael Phillips. I texted Stubb. I said, I found a bagel place, wood-fired bagel. It was burnt. I mean, it was a burnt bagel. It's not wood-fired bagel. It was a burnt bagel with cream cheese and lox.
You can't do that.
Yeah. No. Saturday night, some people said there's this great place called El Vez. It's a terrific Latin restaurant downtown. It's got a great vibe. It did have a great vibe, and it was cool. I'd never, like, eaten on the street like that, like I was in New York. You're sitting on the corner, and the guy's across the street, you know, singing songs to people in front of an ice cream store. The Latin restaurant was so overrated. The service that we got, unbelievable. She didn't bring us water until the meal was served. I don't understand how that happened. And then the chips were burnt. The chips and salsa were burnt. All right, so late night, we went to this cool bar, Irish bar, and I had a few drinks, and I said, you know what? I'm going to get a cheeseburger. Dude, the cheeseburger was awful. All right, so then we fast forward to Friday night. We went to a different bar. It was called McGillin's. It's supposed to be like one of the oldest bars in Philadelphia. I'm thinking, all right, late night here, I'll have the chicken tenders. Dude, I mean, they were burnt. Dude, I didn't have one good meal in Philadelphia, Stubb. I'm telling you, it was not good. It was just not good. The other thing that I think I learned a lot about myself, so a lot of people were there for the soccer game. There were over 40,000 plus Brazilians I thought it was one of the coolest moments I had when a Brazilian fan came up to me after the game, wanted to shake my hand because I was wearing a Chelsea jersey, and he said, and this is going to be a terrible Brazilian accent stuff, but he was like, this is the world to us. He was like, for you, you came for a holiday to have some beers, to watch a game. For us, this is everything. This was our life on the line. And it felt that way when I was watching the game. The Brazilians were going nuts for that game. But the biggest thing I realized about myself, Stubb, is I can't do small talk with random people. I can't do it. Am I a bad person? I was so bored. Like, my buddy is so into just, like, you know, striking up a conversation with random people. I can do that, and I can talk sports. Like, I can talk soccer, basketball, football. We met a couple from New York City that were huge fans of the Giants and was talking Commanders with them. But when I started getting into small talk with random people, Stubb, and they're asking me about where I live, what I do for a living, what they do for a living, could not have been more bored, was ready to walk away from every single conversation. Maybe I'm just a bad person, but like, I can talk sports. But when you start telling me about your dog, or you start telling me about your work at a financial institution, my goodness, I couldn't have gotten out of there quicker to order another beer. Another part of the Philadelphia trip. So everybody there takes the, I think it's called the Spectra, which is like their version of the Metro. And so we took that to the game and back from the game. That was one of the most fun part. It was so packed, but you're there with all the fans of Flamengo in Brazil or Chelsea, and it was filled with people chanting. And the Flamengo chants were so cool. If you're a soccer fan at all, you know some of the basic ones, but they were just, oh, oh, I mean, the whole time. They did not stop. They were jumping and dancing and singing on the Metro ride. It was packed. It felt like 100,000 people were in this one little subway train. The stadium, as much as I hate on Philadelphia, is so awesome. The Link is, I think it's one of the top 10 football stadium in the NFL. I really do. I'm so jealous of everything they have there with three major professional stadiums all in this one little circle area. They have Xfinity Live, a.k.a. it used to be called the NBC Sports Zone. Stubb, that's like a giant, Glory Days. It's like a giant sports bar that has all these other food options inside of it. It has bars all around it. It's a great, hovering zone for people who are pre-gaming. You know, it's different tailgate than you're, like, on the street. You're inside, but it was so cool. That was my favorite part of it. I did all the touristy things, like the Rocky Steps stuff. I'm sure you saw me post that photo.
See that, yeah.
It cracks me up how, so this, you know, I post the photo. What people don't see is you had to wait in the line for 15 minutes as every single person and their grandmother wanted a photo in front of the Rocky statue. Then they asked the person behind them to take it for them. And so you're kind of like sitting there taking turns for a fake, like a person that's not even a real person. Like that's so Philadelphia. It cracked me up. I did enjoy seeing the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall, and I learned that the president lived in Philadelphia. I didn't know that George Washington moved to New York, and that's where they had the White House initially, and then they moved him to Philadelphia for 10 years while they were building the White House that we all know about in Washington, D.C. I think that's part of why Philadelphia people think they're more in tune with U.S. history and why they think their city means more than it actually does, because you had the first president stay there. But it was a really fun trip. Of course, Chelsea lost 3-1, so that kind of ruined a lot of my, excitement for the area. I'm excited to go back, hopefully for a Redskins game. I told some people when I was walking out the stadium, I'll be back for a conference championship game with Jaden Daniels leading my team. But overall, a fun trip. Did not enjoy the food in Philadelphia. No matter what people say about the cheesesteaks, the pizza, whatever, it's overrated. It's not that good. We got better options here in Richmond. So, fun trip. I mean, my goodness, it would have been more fun if Chelsea had won the game. But I got to give the credit to the 40-plus thousand Brazilians that were there. They were screaming, and I think that guy hit it so on the head. Like, I'm a Chelsea fan from Northern Virginia who's never been to England, that, only started watching Chelsea in 2003, 2002. These are Brazilian fans, and first off, this is their game, right? I mean, Brazil's the best nation at soccer. This is their game, and they all came from Rio de Janeiro to see their favorite team play, and so it was like all these people that were actually from you know, the homeland of the team, it's way different than, you know, just the American Chelsea supporters who don't really know about the history. So the Brazilians were a ton of fun. They were super nice to hang out with. They taught us all their crazy chants and stuff. And, of course, they enjoyed their 3-1 victory while I was upset and drinking myself to sleep on Saturday night. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Phone lines are open, 833-804-0910. That's 833-804-0910. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. Call in or tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 910 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Time to go around the National Football League with NFL hits offseason. On the Fan.
Every offseason rumor, every free agent on the move, and the drama surrounding the NFL draft. It's NFL Hits on AWOD Radio.
So we already talked about the Madden ratings being released and Washington being disrespected to a 29 out of 32 overall rating, a 78 overall. Pro Football Focus, though, with a little bit of good news for Washington. They came out with their post-minicamp power rankings, and Washington at number 6 with a question. Have they done enough to close the gap with the Philadelphia Eagles? I think a lot of that is riding on the improvement of the offensive line and the Commanders' rushing attack. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. We had Biff, our superstar intern for the summer, come up with his list of the top 32 running backs in the National Football League. And we'll start with this. Why is Brian Robinson out of your top 32, Biff? No respect for my guy, Bulletproof B-Rob.
Listen, bro, I was thinking, like, if you really want to talk about bias, yeah, I said I could put him in the 20s, right? But I can't put him higher. But as I was making this list, I was like, oh, he's better than Brian. Oh, he's also better. Oh, this guy's also better. It's just what I worry about Brian is he's a great fantasy guy, punch-in type of player, you know, who gets you a touchdown, beautiful. But the 1,000 yards rushing is what, and the fumbling problem, especially this last year, has been really key for me to be like, listen, I can't put him as a top 20 guy. Because if you're a top 20 guy, you're like trustworthy, you're one of the better players on your team, experienced as well. And I can't put him there yet. I want to, I really do. I just can't put him there yet.
I don't think that, you know, you're going to have a lot of people argue against that when you have DeAndre Swift. He's ahead of him. Joe Mixon, he's ahead of him. Kenneth Walker, he's ahead of him. Aaron Jones, he's ahead of him. Both running backs for the Lions are ahead of Brian Robinson Jr., and I think, you know, that has part to do with why Washington received the 78 overall ranking and why a lot of people are questioning, did they do enough to close the gap with the Philadelphia Eagles and that rushing attack, which is the number one running back in football, according to most. And I agree with you, Biff. You got to have Saquon Barkley at number one. But why don't you give us your thoughts on, you know, a few guys that were just outside of your top 10 and why?
Yeah, so it was tough. My top 10, I feel like it's very normal. I mean, there's a couple guys maybe in there. I put Kyren at the 10, Kyren Williams for the LA Rams. I think he's a dog. I wanted to put David Montgomery in there, but, you know, he's been the second choice running back. That's hard to always put. I'm a big fan of Chase Brown, the guy out of Cincinnati. He's a small guy, but he's built. He's super fast. So I always like Chase Brown as well, especially he was kind of the backup to Zach Moss, and he started turning into the number one running back. James Conner is also a guy that I think if he has a good offensive line, he can be good as well. Bucky Irving, I mean, that kid, man, it sucks because
he's got the most potential,
yes.
I feel like.
Oh, my God, yes. And I was best friends with a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. He's told me how much he loves Bucky Irving. So, what scares me, honestly, about Brian Robinson is his third year coming out now, and you have these rookies and the vets that are ahead of them. They broke out in 3 or 4 years, so now it's like it's scary for me because it's like, all right, well, this third year wasn't his best, right? I would probably say his second and first year were better. Now he's got one more year to prove himself, and so I worry that if he doesn't prove himself, because he has all the pieces now, he's got a good offensive line, he's got a good quarterback, he's got good threats on the wide receiver end. So, like, he has no excuse not to be 1,000 yards rushing. And so I think I can kind of compare him to, like, a Kenneth Walker, the Seattle Seahawks. I like Kenneth Walker. He's big. He's kind of like B-Rob, not the fastest. But he's also a 1,000 yards rusher as well. So it's just kind of those kind of my thoughts towards the running back.
Yeah, I kind of think we might have seen the best of Brian Robinson already, maybe his first or second year. I wonder if he's, you know, his improvement is just going to stall out here. But in terms of who you didn't have in the top 10, I think, you know, Stubb, I don't know if you've seen his list here. I think my only argument would be Joe Mixon.
Same.
I do think he's a top 10 running back.
I think you're sleeping.
I would probably I'd probably remove Alvin Kamara given the fact that I think the Saints are going to be awful this year, and he's not the same running back he once was. You don't have the explosion, you know, in terms of 70-yard, 60-yard bombs like you used to have. But let's go through your top 10 here. So Kyren Williams at 10, I can't complain about that. I do think I would have had Alvin Kamara outside of the top 10. I love James Cook at number 8. Convince me why Josh Jacobs there at number 7, you know, shouldn't be higher on this list.
Because you look at the guys in front of him. I had Josh Jacobs as a fantasy running back, and guy's a dog, guy's consistent, don't get me wrong. But you look at the guys in front of him, Jonathan Taylor. He's talking about an explosive running back. He's had a little decline in the past years, but he's been injured, and the Colts are stink, right?
Right.
And so I can't put – when Josh Jacobs has a good offensive line and a good system there at Green Bay – I want to see him do a little more because I believe he's probably the best player on their offensive side. I worry, though, because he has these good games, but when he has a bad game, and I just feel like he's just not that prime time player where, hey, we need you to go get a touchdown or we need you get this first down. I'm not 100% sure he can do that. I'm definitely not saying he can't, but I'm not 100% sure in my trust. And you look at the guys I put in front of them, Jonathan Taylor, Bijan Robinson, Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs, Derrick Henry, Saquon. I feel like those are the type of guys that I'm like, hey, if I need an explosive play, they got me.
Yeah. I mean, look, Jonathan Taylor, it felt like he was falling off. That was a massive bounce back year. Yeah. 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. I'm not high on the Colts this season, but I do think in terms of fantasy, he could be certainly someone to have your eye on. So I think my biggest issue with your top five is that I'm a big Bijan Robinson believer, and he might even be my number two running back in the National Football League, just based off of the talent that he brings to the table. I still don't think the Falcons have used him 100% correctly. They love to throw Tyler Allgeier in there. It feels like anytime Bijan has a little bit of momentum, just keep feeding him the rock. But, you know, what I saw from the NFL this season was my Washington Commanders get beat by Saquon Barkley multiple times. He's definitely the best running back in the National Football League. And we played Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry was awesome this year. I thought Bijan Robinson, from what I saw with my eyes against Washington, was the second-best running back in the National Football League. I can't put Christian McCaffrey in the top five when I didn't see him play. Mm-hmm. So I would have Saquon 1. I would have Derrick Henry or Bijan 2 or 3, pretty much tied right there. And then, you know, I'm with you on Jonathan Taylor, and James Cook would maybe finish out my top five. I really love the Buffalo running back's ability to create an explosive play.
Where do you put Jahmyr Gibbs? I think, I know I slept on Joe Mixon, and I apologize for that. But I feel like you're sleeping on Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, that kid is explosive. I talk about striking fear in your heart. When I watched him against Detroit, we couldn't stop, man.
No, I'm certainly talking about Jahmyr Gibbs as a guy that if he gets the carries, he would be a top five running back.
That's what
I'm worried about, is that, you know, David Montgomery is a big piece in that offense when he's fully healthy. You'll have less carries for Jahmyr Gibbs. And then the other thing with Gibbs is I wonder, you know, can he be your lead back that, you know, you could give it to him 20 to 25 times a game? You know, he only had 20 plus carries three times last year. Three times. Like, that's kind of wild for a workhorse back. I feel like you want a guy that you can rely on to get more yards than that. Now, he certainly is explosive. I mean, he went off for yard runs of 47, 45, 70 throughout this season over and over again. I just wonder, you know, when you're talking about the top five running backs, I'm mentioning guys that are just way better than their backups, and they deserve to play all the snaps. I wonder if Jahmyr Gibbs is that guy, because I think a lot of Lions fans will say he's only so good when we have Montgomery as the thumper with him. Together, they make the Lions one of the best running back tandems in the National Football League. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Should we shame Biff for having Brian Robinson outside of the top 32?
I need to shame him for having Chuba Hubbard nowhere present in his top 30. That's like a number
15
guy.
Oh, I forgot about Chuba. Oh, that's awesome. I forgot about. I actually do like Chuba. I actually, in a lot of my rankings, he was 10, I will say. I forgot about Chuba.
You did multiple rankings where he was number 10, but this one, he wasn't even in the top 35.
Listen, moment was too big. Moment was too big. Moment was too big.
That was a good call-out, Stubb. I forgot
Dang
about
it,
Chuba.
Stubb.
I'm always thinking about him.
Nobody hates the Panthers more than me. My goodness. I hate them so much.
Also Braylon Allen.
Phone lines are open. 833-804-0910. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.